So tonight I wanted to talk about the prophecy of the 70 weeks. I apologize to Gavin and Quinn who've heard most of this message last Sunday, but I did put some new stuff in there. So on Sunday I'm going to ask you if you pick up on what I added. So, actually I said I'm going to talk about the prophecy of the 70 weeks. To be more accurate, I'm going to be looking at the first 69 of the 70 weeks. The 70th week involves the Antichrist, and I don't have enough time to go into that. So it's just going to be the first 69 weeks. So I wanted to give a brief introduction about why bother studying prophecy, other than the fact that it comprises somewhere between 25% and 33% of the Bible. I think it's important because it proves that prophecy has, or that scripture has, a divine origin, and that it's like unlike any other book ever written. It's also a powerful evangelistic tool that demonstrates to unbelievers that God is real and that His word should be believed and obeyed. And it also serves to strengthen the faith of believers. You don't have to turn to these verses, but Jesus, after telling His disciples that He was going to leave and then send His Holy Spirit, said in John 14:29, "And now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe," or ye might believe. And the other reason that Jesus gave a few verses earlier in John 14 that we should believe in Him is because of His miracles. In John 14, verse 11, at the end of the verse, Jesus says, "Believe me for the very work's sake." And so between prophecy and miracles, I think you have the two greatest proofs for the inspiration of Scripture. So having said that, let's look at Daniel's prophecy of 70 weeks and the prediction that it makes about the crucifixion of the Messiah. And you'll find that in Daniel chapter 9. So Daniel 9, verses 24 through 26. 70 weeks are determined upon my people and upon my holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. So these 70 weeks that Daniel is talking about refer to a 490-year period in the nation of Israel in which future events are foretold. Now, the first question I want to ask is, how do we know that the weeks actually represent years? Does anybody know?
Jeremiah. In the book of Jeremiah, it says a year for a week. I was trying to look for it, I couldn't find it.
Okay. That's not the verse that I thought of, but yeah, I think it's contained within the scriptures. Before I go into the context and how we know that the weeks are actually years, I just want to go into the Hebrew of the word 70 weeks. So the Hebrew word that's translated weeks is shabuim in Hebrew. And it's the plural form of shabuah, and it means seven. So the word shabuim does not indicate the period of time, it only indicates that there's seven of them. It could be 7 days, weeks, or years. So a better translation would be 77s. So there's 490 of some period of time. It is the context that demands that the prophecy speaks of years. So if you look earlier in Daniel chapter 9, verse 2, we read that Daniel was reading the book of Jeremiah, and he understood that Jerusalem would be desolate for 70 years. So here you have the context of years that Daniel's reading about just in verse 2 there. And then if you go to the next chapter in Daniel 10, verse 2 says that he's been mourning for 3 whole weeks or 3 full weeks. It's mentioned in verses 2 and 3. Now, the King James uses full and he uses whole, but it's the same word, so it really makes no difference. But the word means, or the Hebrew word there for full or whole is yom, and that means day. So what the Hebrew says is 3/7 of days. And in these verses, yom was added to indicate that Daniel was mourning for 7s of days rather than 7s of years, as is the case in chapter 9. And now besides the context where you have years mentioned earlier in Daniel 9, and then in the next chapter, he specifically mentions yom, so you know that he's talking about days and not years. Logic also dictates that Daniel prophesied about 77s of years. If you look at verse 25 of chapter 9, it predicts that the time to restore and build Jerusalem will be 7 sevens. If the 7 sevens refers to weeks, then it would mean that Jerusalem would be rebuilt in 49 days, which is impossible considering that the Babylonians had made it a desolation. A period of 49 days isn't long enough to rebuild a city as large as Jerusalem. So 49 years is the only logical amount of time to rebuild Jerusalem. Now, during the first 7 weeks, Jerusalem is rebuilt, and from that time until the time that Messiah is cut off, there are 62 more weeks. And there are 4 decrees given by 3 different rulers concerning the construction in Jerusalem. And I'm just going to mention these different passages because we don't have time to go into it. But remember that Daniel's prophecy involves the restoration and rebuilding of the city of Jerusalem itself. Now, the first decree was given by Cyrus, the king of Persia, in 538 BC to rebuild the temple. And if you wanted to know where that is, it's given in 2 Chronicles 36, verses 22 and 23. It's also in Ezra 1:1-4, and Ezra 6:3-5. Now, the work continued for 2 years until Zerubbabel and the Levites were interfered with by the people of the land, and then the construction stopped until the 2nd year of the reign of Darius, who was the king of Persia. And you can read about that in Ezra 3, verse 8, through Ezra 4, verse 5, and it's also in Ezra 4:7-4:24. Those sections contain all the decrees of those kings. Now, Darius reigned for 35 years, from 522 to 486 BC, and he gave the second decree that the first work that was begun under Cyrus should continue without interruption. And that decree is given in Ezra 6, verses 6 through 12. Now, the work that this second decree from Darius began in the 2nd year of his reign, and it continued all the way until he died in 486 BC. And this decree also involved the rebuilding of the temple. So the first decree was to rebuild the temple. It was stopped, and then the second decree was given to continue that original construction. And they both involved the temple. The third decree was given by a third ruler by the name of Artaxerxes in 458 BC during the 7th year of his reign. And you can see that in Ezra 7:6-7 and 11-26. And his instruction was to take silver, gold, wheat, wine, and oil from the king's treasury in order to start making sacrifices and offerings in the temple again. So again, this third decree was also involving the temple. Now, the fourth decree, and the second by Artaxerxes, was given to Nehemiah to rebuild the walls around the temple and the city walls in the 20th year of his reign, 444 BC. And you can read that in Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. So of the 4 decrees that were given by the 3 different rulers, the last one that I mentioned is the only one that gives instructions to rebuild the city of Jerusalem itself rather than the temple. So this has to be the starting point of the 70 weeks of Daniel's prophecy. Now remember that the 69 weeks are divided into 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The first 7 weeks or 49 years, Jerusalem was restored and rebuilt. And if you remember the verses that we read from Daniel, it talks about rebuilding the street. A better translation than street is plaza or marketplace, and so that involves the interior of the city, and then the wall, and that word actually means a moat or a ditch, which they would build in front of the wall so that any enemies that are approaching, it would be that much more difficult for them to take the city. And so that would talk about the outside of the city. So it was a 49-year prophecy that the inside of Jerusalem and the outside of Jerusalem would be rebuilt in that time. It also talks about the construction would take place during troublous times. And if you read in the book of Nehemiah, you'll see all the different difficulties that they had in rebuilding the walls. But after Jerusalem was rebuilt, you still have 62 more weeks or 434 years until the Messiah is cut off. So you have 49 for the first 7 weeks and then 434 for the other 62 weeks. So as I previously said, Artaxerxes' second decree in 440 BC is the starting point. And from that point, there's 69 weeks or a total of 483 years until the Messiah is cut off, or the crucifixion of Jesus. So if you take 444 BC and you add 483 years to it, you end up with what date or what year? So 39, but you also have to take into account that there was no year zero. So 1 AD followed 1 BC, so there's no year zero. So when you take that into account, you actually end up at 40 AD. And if you know anything about the history of the crucifixion of Jesus, you know that it's commonly accepted that he was crucified in 33 AD. So there's a discrepancy there. So the way that you can explain the discrepancy is that the years that you're counting in should be prophetic years. And prophetic years consist of 360 days rather than 365 and a quarter days of our calendar. And so how do we know that we should count in terms of 360-year days rather than 365 and a quarter day years? Well, first, again, we're going to go to different passages of Scripture, and some of these are actually pretty interesting. Turn to Genesis chapter 7. So Genesis chapter 7 involves the flood. And we see in verse 11, it says, "In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on the same day, all the fountains of the great deep burst open, and the floodgates of the sky were opened." So that tells us the beginning of the flood, the exact day, the second month, 17th day. Then if you skip down to chapter 7, verse 24, it says, "The water prevailed upon the earth 150 days. So it started on a particular day and lasted for 150 days. Then if you go to Genesis 8, verses 3 and 4, it says, "And the water receded steadily from the earth, and at the end of 150 days, the water decreased. In the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark rested upon the mountains of Ararat." So you have this 150-day period, and it was starting on the 17th day of the second month, and it ended on the 17th day of the seventh month, so that's exactly 5 months. And it also tells us it's 150 days, which means that a month must consist of 30 days. So that's one example. There's a couple more examples that we can find from Daniel, combination of Daniel and Revelation. So if you turn back to Daniel chapter 9, in verse 27, it says, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease." So 1 week, again, means 7 years, and the sacrifices are stopped in the midst or the middle of the week, which means the 7 years are divided into two 3.5-year periods. And Revelation also speaks about these 3.5-year periods. If you keep your finger in Daniel, and then you flip over to Revelation chapter 11, and there's a bunch of verses in Revelation. In Revelation 11, verse 2, it says, "Leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the nations, and they will tread underfoot the holy city for 42 months." So now you have this time period of 42 months. And then read the very next verse. "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth." So 3.5 years is equal to 42 months, which is also equal to 1,260 days. But only if each month is 30 days long. So that again points out a 30-day month. And you have the same thing repeated in Revelation 13:5, and it's talking about the dragon, and it says, "And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months." And then if you flip back a chapter to Revelation 12, verse 6, it says, "And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days." So all of these different examples show how the prophetic calendar in the Bible uses 30-day months. So if you go back then to the 69 weeks or 483 years from the decree of Artaxerxes in 444 BC, which predicts the crucifixion in 40 AD, remembering that there's no year zero. So the calendar that we currently use is a Gregorian calendar, and it's longer than a year using the biblical prophetic calendar. So therefore, we need to subtract the difference from the prediction of 40 AD. A year in the Gregorian system is 365.242 days, which is 5.242 days longer than a prophetic year. So if you take the 5.242 day difference and you multiply it over the entire length of the prophecy, 483 years, you get 2,531.886 days, which is just under 7 years. So then you take that adjustment and you subtract those years off of 40 AD, and you get a date in the year 33 AD. Now, if you do some research on this, you'll find out that some Bible scholars and researchers believe that they know the actual exact day on which the Messiah was crucified. And it's based on these passages that we've been going through in Daniel's prophecy, also a number of verses from the New Testament that talk about the Passover and the timing of the Sabbath and how those went together during that time. And also geological evidence that there was an earthquake that occurred near the Dead Sea during the time that Pontius Pilate was the procurator of Judea. So when they put all these different evidences together, they come up with Friday, April 3rd, 33 AD. And that seems to fit with all these different scripture passages and the extra biblical evidences as well. So if you really kind of take that all in and think about the fact that Daniel was written during the 6th century BC, you can't help but be amazed by the accuracy of that prediction that was made almost 600 years before it was fulfilled. So I hope that this little study that I took us through with this prophecy will strengthen our faith, because we know that God is faithful to fulfill his promises, as he was faithful to fulfill this prophecy by Daniel. I hope that it can comfort our hearts, because we know that if Jesus came once to die, then he'll come again to reign, and that it might encourage us to evangelize, remembering that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Thank you.